Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real-ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. Get what you believe.
Hi.
Hey guys.
What's up? What's up?
I'm TT.
I'm Gigi.
And I'm Dee Dee.
And we're back.
Bah, 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 bah.
Where are your sound effects? The ones that you had from,
the two weeks ago.
Shit.
Right.
Right. 2 weeks ago. So I had found these.
We need those, Dee Dee. We need your sound effects.
On the episode that didn't make it, you know. Let's see if I can.
Listen, it's okay. We come on.
Episode.
We redeemed ourselves, though. We redeemed ourselves. Now, I feel like not only, you know, we had that little snafu,
yes.
And then we did release after coming after, you know, a very, very chaotic season of we are out of the shadow period.
We are.
I said microbursts.
The shadow period. It's
oh my god! It's May
7th.
May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
They said retrograde ends the 25th, so
the
I still got
shadow
look at
period.
The
shadow.
She in Aries season, so she not leaving without a fight, honey.
Listen, she a fight of a knockout, draw, brawl, all of the things. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh
get her
God.
Out of here.
Please, yeah. Right now. And then we got to congratulate G, of course. So
yes, big milestones.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so many. So I love it.
I know.
Black love.
We love black love.
I love it. Our girl, our doll is Murray now. She Murray.
Okay.
I got him, girl.
You said what?
I said, I got him, girl.
Yeah,
not locked them down. Make them want to marry
down,
me.
No prenup, hey, girl.
Make them want
life
marry
of a wife.
Me.
Life of a wife.
We literally have to.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna say that.
We gotta get you the shirt so you like this.
We have to get. We gotta get her the shirt because you could. Yeah. This is why I probably am not because everything would be like, hello, what was said? Hi, like. I can't hear you. What? Yeah, I would have my finger. If you were watching on YouTube, you will see that I was showing my marriageless finger, but you could only get that on YouTube. So as usual, you know, like, subscribe, tell a friend. Shout out. I also, our sister that sent in the letter. I'm now done my Daniel's fast, but I've been calling everybody sister, like whatever last name, first name, last name, and brother. So,
my sister.
Church queen. I've become the
our
biggest church
sister. Queen. Our anonymous sister. Thank you so much.
To our sister anonymous. Sister XOXO, you know, we are with you. Look, I am praying for you. I will add you to the list.
Because
my list was lengthy.
I'm gonna still be your friend up. Hmm? Our XOXO sister. I'm like, I'm gonna still be her friend up. Yeah.
Yeah, I still be and it's still on site. You know, it's giving combo. Okay.
You could have told me. You could have told me why we was beefing.
Yeah. Yep. No, I'm gonna pray about it and then I'm gonna fight you too. So, you know.
I know.
Combo. But, you know, since all the girls are fighting, everybody fighting.
So we need the house therapist for this.
We were like, all like the whole the internet is fighting. You know, we've been fighting in the inner lives. Who can we get to step in here? Help us out.
Help us have a conversation.
Help us have a conversation because y'all know how much we love our reality television and watch everything. And one of our favorites are dolls. I need a hookup on a house for my birthday.
Yes.
You know, I need, you know, and I got that August. So I'm like, Martha's Vineyard summer house multi hyphenate Esquire lawyer doll cast member Preston.
Okay.
recently engaged. Welcome to the show.
I love it.
We are so, we were literally like watching, I think, I want to say it was the first, not this, the second season, watching the first episode, and we were like, we have to have him, like, must.
Yeah, this was season one, we've been saying this.
No, literally, literally. It's given favoritism, so, I mean, I feel,
I'm happy. Clearly, I'm a lot more vocal this season, but I'm still in my therapist bag, still in my we all got to get along occasionally bag. So
occasionally.
Because sometimes fuck y'all.
Okay. It gives that.
And but, it's okay. It's really, really okay. Yeah. I guess, yeah, just give us some context of some stuff about you that, like, we don't know from the show outside of you, like I said, being literally the moderator and the same person. I'm just joking.
No, some stuff about me. Oh, my God. So I will say, like, I come from a pretty small family, actually, in Ohio. But the side of my family who I've always felt connected and close to is my mother's side of the family. But I was raised by some dope Black women. And I really think, for me personally, that's how I kind of stay grounded in a lot of things. Like, I just can't remember a time where Black women weren't in my center, weren't the people that, like, raised me, mentored me, cherished me, nurtured me. And I really think that is why I know that is exactly how I am today. And that's honestly probably the biggest thing to really know about me that a lot of folks probably don't know just yet.
I love that. Yeah. And then what was the process?
I'm gonna pause for a second. Shout out to the Black women, right? Always. Like, obviously we got two Black women on this podcast, and I literally tweeted, Preston, that's so funny. I literally tweeted like yesterday. It was like Black women. It was like a greater than sign because I get your sentiment. Like, everything that y'all do is in culture. Everything that y'all do, y'all can literally make the world go round, right? And it isn't praised enough. So yeah.
Just don't soak it up. Pay them. Right. Like, I need, you know, it's just there's so many things that the firm, when I built my consulting firm and my team, the people who I hired first were Black women, queer folks. Like, I was like, if I actually believe this, I have to put my money there too. Right. And not just be like, I love you. Like, hashtag Black women save people. Like, no, it's important. Right. Because we need to amplify just to your point, Didi. But I think also it's like, okay, how are we really showing up in support of? Right. And I don't see it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know Black women must be exhausted because I'd be exhausted for y'all.
Whew. Tired, honey.
Egg, it's like with the EGG, like exhausted of just, and to your point of like, pay, you can't just say it. Sometimes it does feel like a lot of lip service from, and when I say, I mean everyone. But it's like, just lip service that no, you have to pay or amplify or you know, you gotta reach up, you gotta reach down, you gotta reach across, like in multiple ways. So yeah, you're right. Shout out to Black women.
Absolutely. Shout out to Black women. No, I'm gonna stream that shit from the mountaintops.
Seriously. I love it.
Me too.
I love it. Your experience with the show. You guys are now two seasons in. You know, what has that been like? And even just like professionally, like what is that challenge like? Or if it is a challenge, like what is that like balancing the two?
Yeah, I think it is a challenge sometimes. But, you know, because I really, you know, my career was 13 years in before I even auditioned for reality TV. And, wow. You know, by that time, honestly, I was like from, you know, senior directors to major nonprofits. I was consulting corporations. I was teaching at top 10 law schools. And, you know, for me, even thinking of doing reality TV was such a fascinating thing because certainly like I'm 38 years old. And so my career, I've had enough of it, but not clearly it's not vast, like just been able to establish myself in the beginning and middle of it. And so I knew this could be an opportunity that would really catapult it or could really make it crash and burn. For me, I am thankfully incredibly self-aware of my good things and my bad parts of myself. And so I know if I'm like cussing somebody out, it's going to be few and far between. And it's not going to be like this thing you can make it the center of my character. I always know it's going to be some parts there where because people don't get on your nerve. Right. And that is like that. Right. And that's the nature of reality TV. You're going to put people together.
Right.
And people are going to have good times and conflict a lot. And so, you know, it's just interesting. So before I get any of this, you know, I really had to talk to a lot of my community, my now fiance, my really close friends, and just be like, does this make sense for me? And it did. And I'll tell you why. I think ultimately, I watch reality TV so much, right? And I've watched it since, I mean, my earliest memories are like the Real World, Road Rules, Real World, Road Rules Challenge.
Same.
I Love New York, Flavor of Love. Like that was really the kind of the nucleus of it. And a lot of it I saw really the cultural zeitgeist at the time was, again, Black women. Like I remember the Corals, I remember the Tammys, right? Like the people who really, Tiffany Pollard's obviously.
Shout
like,
out to Coke. Coral was
ahead of her time.
That girl.
Listen, I don't
throw it back with that one.
I'm like that, like iconic.
iconic.
I saw the clip from her No Lie yesterday. Like iconic. Yeah.
Iconic. Like, and those are the moments I remember. There were like moments that dealt with a lot of racism in some of those instances. You had discussions of HIV. Like it was so vast, but something I rarely saw were Black gay men, and specifically Black gay men who are in love with Black gay men. And, you know, I just
call it out, Nacha.
Listen, oh yeah, like I will always only be team Black gay men for me, but you know.
Same. But, and it ain't changing over here.
Yeah, no, it's shaking and real, but no. No, because I'm just like, even yesterday when I saw a clip of our show for the next episode, someone called it out and they was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a Black man kiss a Black man on Bravo. I don't think I've ever seen that. And so those are the moments, right? I can't be everyone's representative, nor what I want to be, my guy. But I do take very seriously that this is an opportunity that many of us don't have. And I thought that was worthy enough to be one of the, not spokespeople, but at least be able to be a representative in ways that many of us just don't get to be seen. And to me, that mattered more than the possible negative or repercussions that could have happened, especially because I know myself enough to know, right, there is publicists, there are people who can really help when those bad moments, right, can kind of come to the forefront. But it's like, if I don't even give my chance to have these good moments to be platformed, then I certainly don't even get the other experience either. And I'll tell you this, like every city I go to now, when folks recognize me, it is always love. It is always, we needed you to be seen. We hope y'all get multiple seasons. If y'all don't, we hope you do something big with your career on TV. Like it has always been a breath of fresh air because the reason why I did it, it almost seems like people get it, right? And they see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're touching on a really good point. Yeah.
One of the reasons why I watch just reality TV in general is because I love like the whole aspirational aspect of it, which is, you know, quintessential for the Housewives universe. Right. But what's super, super special about Summer House Martha's Vineyard is that it's just really relatable. It feels like vacation with my friends. And there was one time me, Didi, and Titi took a damn trip to Palm Springs during the like the heat of COVID and you know everything was on close friends because it was still very much scrutinized unless you lived
you next to Florida.
You couldn't travel.
And we had a blast. So when I saw that and when we saw that, it was like, oh my God, like yes, yes, yes. So I'm curious to know, did you already know all of the people in the house or were you connected with a few and then y'all just kind of meshed together?
Yeah, so funny enough, I also took a trip to Palm Springs during the peak of COVID. No, there was only a few places we were going to go. From each other. There ain't many of us. So it was. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we were like Palm Springs, Tulum, PBR. Pick your choice. Like,
oh, yeah. Tulum definitely had the moment.
Tulum was booming. Like,
they were. I'm sure they were tired of us, loved our money, but tired of us.
They apparently, I know somebody that went back and forth and like they were changing the prices like every month on people for the tourism. Like,
of course.
No, but so I only knew five of them in advance, okay. Maybe five. So I knew Jasmine, Silas, Jordan, Shanice, Jason, and Mariah. So six of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we kind of just all started to like to blend over time. In fact, those who I just named, we were on the vineyard together during like really the infancy of all of this and kind of how we were getting uh-huh. vetted based on a picture that was posted in a story from Jordan.
And oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So
from
that's
a story, not even a page post.
Yeah. Yeah. And thankfully, she was already getting vetted by another show okay. on the network. And so that didn't work out at the time, but she eventually appeared on that show, Winter House. But it didn't work out that time. But it obviously worked out for all of us and then eventually for her on the show. But it was a really good opportunity and something that just doesn't happen in that way. Most people right. really submit audition tape after audition tape. But I'll tell you this, I believe it made sense for this to happen in this way because there is something that feels incredibly unique about not even searching to be on a reality TV show, but then it yeah. happening.
Happens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It almost feels just like God's timing, really divine intervention there. So, you know, that was another reason why I wanted to take this opportunity because it rarely comes around once, right? Like, yeah. very rarely.
And for it to come to you, right? Exactly. Rather than seeking it.
Exactly. Like, I do get these questions from viewers a lot and people who just really love reality TV. And, you know, they're just like, oh, I know I would be great on reality TV. And I really always caution people because people have no idea what it takes to film reality TV. Like, yeah. As someone who watches it, I understand it is easy to critique. I get it like no other. But I'm just like, mm-hmm. my God, y'all have no idea how production works, all the, like, yeah. directions, where you need to sit, where your head needs to be placed, like, cameras everywhere. Mm. My literal whole ass cheeks were out on an episode, last episode.
They were. Like, I was like, last episode. I was like, okay, come on, Josh.
The jockstrap.
Because I'm wearing one right now. Like, I am such team jockstrap. Like, I am going to wear it every day. That's just, and I'm glad like, we were able to yeah. finally realize yeah. I had cakes. They were down.
I love that. Okay. Okay. I was like, did Jasmine knock on the door or did she just walk in?
Funny enough, she did, and I told her to come in. And I knew I was in a jock strap, but I love my right. body so much. And it's, you know, I
love
that.
Yeah.
That is the thing. Like, I did. I was like, come in if you need to.
Yeah, right. Right. Come in. But
the thing is, weird. Like, most of my career, folks don't know this, and I probably should have led with this. Like, most of my career is in abortion access law. So, like, most of my career is in, like, bodily autonomy, body positivity, mm-hmm. the right to body. So I'm like, oh, I'm that's why nudity is okay to me. Like, all yeah. it's just very normal to me. Or right, okay, right.
You love Shanice and all her freedom.
But, you know what? I mean, there is a level of discomfort that people have with nudity, and I understand it. But honestly, yeah. For people who travel, they will get, it is really American. Like, it is, yeah. so many other places you go to are just very expressive with their body. Like, it's not sexualized. It is just your body.
Yeah. Your body, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I...
And that's the point of it not being sexualized.
Right. And frankly, it becomes non-sexualized when it becomes normalized. And so, yeah. people are like, oh my God, an ass. I'm like, you have one, right? Like, what is the shock and horror? Right. But I get it, right? I get it when it's things like kids are involved. Like, there are dynamics of it that I get. But I'm like, y'all, it's literally a dick. I don't really know.
It's okay. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
But I get it. But no, but seriously, like, only a few of us knew each other, but we did really blend, or sometimes not. Again, that's what happens. But a lot of us already knew each other, which I think you can kind of see play out in some of our dynamics too.
Yeah. No, you can. I just, you just seem very, and now it just even hearing this kind of even speaks more to your character on the show. Just like you said, like yeah. very self-aware and like self-assured. And obviously it doesn't mean that you don't have bad days, but just kind of like, I feel like they needed someone like you to kind of center kind of like you just
Valley
you,
girls.
Yeah, you seem centered and grounded too. And now, and I feel like it's expressed as you know, and not even your character, but like how you show up on the show. Of like, it seems like you always. Like, I remember one of the episodes, I was like, damn, I'd be like, y'all, can I have a night off? I don't feel like getting in the middle of everything.
I don't tell you that, too. But you know what? And I hate to say this because I hate that my good parts are born out of trauma. But I've gone through a life, right? And I think a lot of it, you just learn yourself earlier when you've gone through a life. You know, I'm kind of comfortable sharing this because I've written about this years ago. But, you know, I'm a survivor of sexual violence. Right, my father molested me. I was abused. I talked a little bit about that on the show. Like, there's a lot of what I went through that really just made me, I don't even want to say strong, but it just made me be like, damn, life is lifing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing, and I should not have to experience that. But in
not
some
at all. Yeah.
Warped right. way, I'm grateful that I did, because I don't know how else I could have been shaped. Like, I don't know, because that's the only life I know. And so I know I should not have had to go through any of that, but in some of it, it made me incredibly self-aware, and it made me incredibly grounded. And some of the most horrible parts of my lived experience are really what turned into love for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Like, but because that's something that, like you said, it should have never, ever happened. It shouldn't happen to anybody. It shouldn't happen to you. It should not happen to anybody. But like, you know, when we talk about whether, you know, beauty for ashes, or, you know, you even taking that and being able to speak about it and convey it in that way is just like, I'm like, honestly, like blown away. I'm like, literally.
Because your response to the things that have happened to you could go any direction, right?
Right.
And so instead of it being almost like a victim to these things that happened to you, it's almost like encouraged you and encouraging people around you, because we had no idea, you know, that you've gone through those things, right? Yeah. And even seeing you on the show, like just being very level-headed and being that moderator when Bria want to go off, Summer want to go off, Jordan want to go off. It's like, it, literally I'm watching it like, what now? What done happened?
Yeah.
And I think it was for you, there was a moment when you were tested around the whole Phil debacle, right? And as another gay Black man, I've been there where someone has called me soft. Someone has used these different terminologies in order to demean who I am as a person based off of who I love, right? And I think you even handled that moment with so much grace because of the things you went through, right?
Right.
Like, Bria calling this man on FaceTime, I don't want to talk to him. Like, no, he can't come to the house, right? Mm-hmm. But you were able to have that conversation, actually, like, at one point, crack a joke. So that says so much about you. And I'm curious to know, what made you actually say yes to getting on the FaceTime? Because you didn't have to do that.
I love this question. So it's challenging because, you know, and I have to connect this. The reality is, in this moment in time, Bria and I are not on good terms. Like, that's just real life. And so, like, there are moments you watch back and you're actually like, honestly, this probably should have happened sooner. Because there was a moment I watched back, and I thank God for blocking certain things, because I didn't even hear that she called me a bitch, like, in an argument. Yeah, there was like one moment, and I was like, huh.
I'm like, what episode was this?
When she walked away from the table. Jasmine was crying. It led the next episode. So maybe episode 5.
Okay, that was the most recent one.
And I didn't hear it in the moment. Like, and I was like, that had to be God. Because there are most things I'm calm about, but there's something. Because I'm like, if I had actually used that same response to you, it would have looked very different.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm curious why you're calling me this. Because I don't think you would have called it to Amir or Nick or Alex. So I had to just kind of sit with it and just be honest with my feelings of like, we're actually not that cool. And you know what? It's okay. Right. I don't think she's the worst person in the world, but I just need some space. And feelings are mutual, I'm sure. All that to be said, I am almost wanted to reject the conversation with Phil just because of who the messenger for him was.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It was incredibly fair, but it also for me kind of like, y'all, I'm an activist at my core. And I think part of the work that I do and that my consulting firm does is community engagement. And I know this probably sounds disconnected, but I hope I can connect it. For me, it's like community means a lot to me. And sometimes everyone is not going to be part of your community. I've learned that as well. But there are some people who I at least have to be like, damn, like you are this way and you may not even know why. Like you probably don't even like think about, right? Like these this internalized like misogynistic attitudes that you have, this right. behavior that you have against queer people. Like you it's just so normalized you don't even recognize it. Or it feels so benign. So when people even say things like, I mean, I had to call out some of my black women friends for calling certain men who are straight, but calling them zesty. And I'm like, what does that mean to you? Like, let's talk right. about that a little bit more. Let's unpack that. And so it's just fascinating to me. So it feel, everything was so not leveled. It was just high all the time. I was like, I know there are layers to you. And this is not going to be the moment to give you the space to talk about all of your layers. But when Phil came to me, it was, I can tell the truth and say that it felt very apologetic. It didn't feel like it was for cameras. It very much felt like, hey, I heard some things and that really is not me. And if you give me the space, I will love to talk to you. Like it wasn't, it just felt, you know, you just have a felt, it just felt like, okay. Like, I can hear you out. It's not going to change our, you know, our relationship. We're not going to be friends. Like, you know, but the truth is, in real life, I know people who knew Phil, who went to high school with him, and they were gay. And they were just like, that wasn't him. Like, there was, I don't know what I saw on TV, but that was, like, not the Phil I knew. He was funny, comedic, but he wasn't, like, someone who would just go around like, you know, all this stuff. So I was like, that's so fascinating to me.
A lot of vibrato. Unnecessary.
Oh my God, he tore that house.
And then you take a shit and leave it? Like, bro. At
this moment. Like, no, when I say, y'all, people were asking me, was that real? Did he? I said, no, y'all, it was 3 hours and he was gone. Like, it was not. Wow. It was serious.
I said, cut the cameras. Get him out of here.
As he should have been.
I'm like, I am absolutely done with it. I'm like, I will literally leave because I'm not about to deal with this for another week. Like, I can't do it. I think also, though, what troubled me in that moment, one, I just hate watching myself cry. Like, I think tears obviously can be joyful, but, you know, that moment really felt even more isolating because I know how people who can be perceived as dramatic are like, I know the perception of that, right? There's like, they're tripping. It's not that serious. And I've been accused many a times of something being not that serious that I'm actually upset about. And it pisses me off. Like, I'm like, just because you don't have emotional awareness, don't blame me for having it. And I'm feeling my feelings and I'm sharing them with you. Like, and I think that should be honorable and not just dismissed. Oh,
absolutely.
Right? Not just dismissed because it's easy to do. But that is why I wanted to have the conversation with Phil. There was something that felt like, Phil is someone who's also in community and will be regardless of these cameras, and people like him are going to be in the community, and I have to figure out a way if this is worth my time and energy engaging and giving a space or grace. Now, is everyone deserving of grace in my opinion? No. From somebody, but not from me.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
But that just felt like a moment where it just needed to happen. Now, I do want to clarify something that we still did not want him in the house. We were like, if we can do like Mariah, we were like, she can come in the house all day, gang, gang. Right. But like,
you was causing issues with that one when you was going toe to toe with the girl we ain't going to talk about. But you know,
look. But with Phil, we were like, if he can come out to an event that we do publicly because it's the public, right? Like, we're not gonna doing that. But I'm like, in the house, most people still weren't comfortable. So you know, but I do have to shout out Alex here because I do think he was one of the ones that shocked me with how he responded, because you know with confessionals we don't really know what anyone says until after the fact.
And
he fully spoke in support of me in his confessional, and so I don't know if I was expecting it or not, but it was just beautiful to see that at least there was an opportunity for straight men to be like, actually, it was a lot for me even.
I
love that, like when Black cisgender straight men step up for gay Black men and have that moment. It's very brotherly and right. Yeah. And like, obviously you're an alpha, so you get the whole idea of that, you know, that brotherly thing. So that's amazing that he stepped up for you in that moment. But you know, Amir wasn't playing either. Amir was I was about to beat his ass. He's definitely not coming in this hour.
Right. All that Zen, no, out the window.
No.
All that meditation was like,
nope, not playing.
And even to your point, like, you know, when you feel something is off or right, or when you are like, you know, you were able to give him the grace that day to have the conversation, but it just, it was given like, hell no, vibes. I always be like, what would Milo think of all this?
Oh my God. Just running around.
It's part of the chaos, tearing the house up, child.
That's what that girl run up.
Oh my God. I wish my dog would. I'm like, I'm no shade. I was like, you a different pet parent from me. Because if I saw my dog doing that, it is a wrap.
She came in and was so calm.
She just walked right past the dog in the mess and like went to the bathroom.
Where is the crate? I was like, literally, where is the crate? Milo ain't never seen a crate in his life.
look, Audrey know better. She know better. So,
right.
Your dog's name is Audrey?
Audrey Lord Mitchum.
Oh my gosh. What a name.
The whole name. She got a middle name, child.
A middle name.
It's all her dog's tag and everything. Look.
Oh my gosh, she's a classy one. Okay. It's so classy.
Very demure. Hello.
Very.
What kind of dog is she?
A golden doodle, all Black. She's like 55 pounds. Cute. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, she's big.
That's why she ain't gonna be in the house, because I'm like, I ain't got time.
Right. She said,
Phil would have came up in there acting up, she would have raised up on his ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would have been another fight. Like,
another one. And so on the show this season, you see Amir dealing with issues of being in a relationship, being away for 15 days and living on the phone, essentially. And y'all have so much going on in the house. You got production, you got fights, you got, you know, activities, restaurants, going out, the whole thing. Obviously, you're recently engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How were you able to essentially maintain your relationship during like filming and that whole thing? Like, is it the constant check-in, phone calls? Like, how do you and Donald do that while you're filming the show?
Donald is, oh my God, like the most understanding and supportive person that I've ever met in my entire life. Like, he just fully, one, he understands it as a job. So he's just like, you know what? I'm gonna check in every once in a while, send a couple text messages. If we can talk on FaceTime, fine. If not, I get it.
It's cool.
Like, just an understanding partner. Yeah, because it's also like, what the hell am I going to be doing? I mean, you're going to see it on TV. So, like, it's not like I can act.
Like, I'm not doing anything.
Right. And so he's just always been that way, though. Like, and also Donald is a corporate finance attorney. So he's also just very busy. And so I think, like, part of it is he's like, I'm literally working all day as well. So it just leaves like little room for like the what is my man doing right now?
Yeah.
That's never been him. Like, he's also just very, very secure in who he is and who in what our relationship is. So I've never had to deal with, like, you know, some couples do, but I've never had to deal with the constant phone calls, where you at, checking your location. That's just not been my thing, especially with Donald. And I am grateful for that, because when I tell y'all, and I made a joke about this just on Instagram a couple hours ago, when I said we are absolutely the most normal couple in that house.
Oh, absolutely. It's not even a joke. I believe you.
Yeah.
Like, when I tell you, like, I was shocked at seeing the couples argue, because I'm like, y'all know cameras are here, right? Like,
And again, no, I can't wait. This can't wait.
And again, it's gonna happen, right? Like, I'm not, you know, your emotions are your emotions, so some things are gonna come out. But I think it's also because me and Donald just really just be chilling most of the time that I'm like, this, what y'all arguing about now? So we like, when I said we like, production was even joking with me and they were like, so you know, y'all were the only one who didn't get an argument, right? I was like, wow. No, but I suspected that.
And would.
Like,
yeah.
What Bria and Simon about to argue about now, child?
Yeah. I mean, we're coming back. I
enjoyed him. I enjoyed Simon.
I'm trying to have a good time, okay? So I'm like, I'm working. I'm trying to turn up.
I like Simon too, but I can't lie. There is something that will always, and maybe because I just study race and culture, but there's always something that will disturb me about white folks wanting to be the center of attention in black spaces. And there are certain moments. And again, it's never malicious from him. And so I always kind of have to really reflect and be like, okay, is this the opportunity to say something because it's not malicious, but that don't make it not annoying.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just want the guests to know that they're guests.
Yeah. A guest of the culture. Yeah.
Right.
You are a guest of the culture. Let's be clear. So let's stay in. Also, stay in your guest of the culture lane.
But I also want to know what they were arguing about. Because I'm like, I don't know what these couples were arguing about either most of the time.
Oh, yeah, like, true. Because you don't get to see the episodes until we all see them together.
Yeah, so there are moments, right, when people are just in their rooms having conversations. And when I see the episode, I'm like, what was y'all talking about?
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
It's always fascinating. We get an episode today, so I can't wait to see it today for Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
Well, y'all get it a few days ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We get a few days in advance. Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Really quickly, because I just love a good love story. How did you guys meet?
Oh my God. Dun on Jacked. So we
on the app. That's right.
We met on an app. You know what's funny though? So like I have met so many actually like good friends from apps, like whether like hookup apps, dating apps, whatever. So like Jax, Grindr, even back in the day, Adam for Adam, Black Gay Chat. Like
baby.
Like my first
BTC.
No, my first roommate in DC, we were roommates for 5 years and I met him on Black Gay Chat. Like, and we were just friends. Right? There was nothing romantic or sexual. And so like you know, but I think it is what it is because I've definitely busted wide open on Jack and Grindr and stuff too. So like,
what can you give me like for what it's
used for, yeah. Okay. You know, you make friends, hook up, do whatever.
But yeah, but he slid in my DMs, and I remember his profile was so fascinating to me because it gave me a couple of things, and it really gave me like, I'm a lawyer, I'm smart, I like to have a good time, but don't try me. And those are all the things I love. Like.
Okay.
I love all
Did he say he was a lawyer on his profile?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right.
Donald's got a brother.
I was like, lawyer by day. Look, actually. Look, you know, it was like lawyer by day, turn up by night. Like that's
keep word.
I love that.
Yes.
Same.
I loved it. And so, you know, I responded back, of course, and we were talking for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, just on the app. Never exchanged numbers. And we were kind of like, wow, this has clearly been going on for 2 weeks, which is a long time on the app world. So we're like, let's exchange numbers. We exchanged numbers and went on a first date a week later at this speakeasy called Denson Liquor Bar in DC. And that was history from there.
Oh,
I will say that our first date, though, was in January of 2020.
Okay.
And so, and so my 35th birthday was March 2024. And we were in Cabo and he was in DC. And so he called me and was like, hey, I don't know if you're watching the news, but they're closing the borders. So you may want to come back. You may want to come back. And I tell you this, we were still dating, including in the height of COVID. But we ended up taking like a 2-3 month break. And it was probably the most important thing we could have done for our relationship. Because the truth is, we took a break because we were like, we actually don't have the opportunity to date anyone else. So this can't this can't feel like we're doing this just because now we don't have another option. So you know,
that's very interesting.
That's very grown of y'all too. Like,
we really liked each other. It was like just this may, like, let's figure this out just to see if it makes sense. And if it comes back, it comes back. And I tell you this, I always blame him because during those 2.5 months, I got COVID. And I say, you see what happened when you leave me in the streets? You see what happened? Look, and we ran into each other. And I tell you this, we ran into each other, went on a date like a couple weeks after that, and have been dating ever since.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, it was just
I love that. I really love that. That's beautiful.
Beautiful. Literally beautiful. Do you feel like through COVID it sped up the relationship in a sense? I'm always interested when people meet around the time of COVID, if because of that, in a way, it felt so much faster.
You know what? At first, I would say yes, if you asked me this, like 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. But I think we actually were incredibly intentional about dating during COVID. I mean, I think obviously the break was part of that. But I think we were having these like weekly conversations of like, how do you feel? COVID is still around. Like, what is, like, we were so intentional about our conversations about it. Because, it's like, at this point, honestly, we're just too old to be wasting people time. So it's just what? Like, what is this? What are we doing? Does it make sense? It's okay. Like, we had built, I think, enough of a friendship where I really loved and respected him that I was okay with being friends if that's what we needed to be. And similarly for him. But, you know, yes, we're still friends, obviously. But now we're lovers for life. And I think, like, part of it was because we were able to slow down and be like, all right, we know this pandemic is happening. Nobody know what they're doing. We still wash in grocery bags, not the food, but the bag.
The bags.
With the Lysol wipes.
That was a crazy time, Joe.
Yeah. So crazy.
But I can see why it felt fast for probably everyone, frankly, because it was just a scary time. Like, you were losing family members and friends, and no one really still understood it. Right. I still have a friend to this day who cannot taste. Right. In terms
Are you serious?
Food. Yeah.
What? Well,
he's gone to the doctor consistently still. And it's because of it's one of the side effects of
long-term
COVID.
Damn. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I ain't trying to make I would be devastated because I love crab legs. And so if I can't take that crab leg, oh my God.
I would lose it.
In Maryland.
Right.
I made crab cakes last night at 2 a.m.
What?
I came home from somewhere and that didn't have food and I wanted a crab cake.
I love that you're my twin because I ate Taco Bell last night at 2 a.m.
Well, I'm in like the suburbs, child. It wasn't shit open around here, so I'll be having to cook. It'll be nothing.
Oh my gosh. That is
horrible. I want to talk a little bit about reality TV. Obviously, there's other shows that are out there too. And we love our TV shows. Do you watch any own shows? Ready to Love?
No,
Love,
I don't. Love and Marriage. Everyone tells me I need to start.
Oh, you have to start. Yeah. We're going to put you on today.
Okay, can I say, where should I start?
That's a great question. You think, I'm going like Family or Fiancé. The fact that it's not
But just like you could watch the older episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just really love, because we're all the same age, basically. And I think what I love about those were like their own programming is like, it's grown people TV. Like, yeah, your mother is probably watching it, but it's like, it's not with the intent for purposely just like clickbaits and sound bites. And like, it actually is with the intent to heal and move forward. So like, but Family or Fiancé is a show that people are in conflict and there's a therapist on the show who actually has a show on Hulu about her real life, and Kerry Washington is playing her, and the dad is Delroy Lindo. I can't think of the name of the show right now, but she got like a season of that.
Oh, it's been on there for a while.
Yeah, it's been on there for a minute. Based on Dr. Tracy's life. Yeah, I'm obsessed with Dr. Tracy. Clearly, all of her stories, because like people thought she was a white woman. She's like, no, I'm not. Like, Yeah. But anywho, the families, you know, they have to decide whether or not, like, either you're going to pick your family or you're going to pick your fiance. Most of the time, it ends up being about the families, honestly. I mean, a lot of them are like, what's the situation with the person? But it'll be, let's say if it's a son and his mom is there, they'll be having their own therapy session. Like, a lot of it, because obviously, you know, you're kind of like dating the childhood of whomever you are with. A lot of it just goes back to your childhood. That's why I think I love that one so much, because it's not your typical dating show. Just like, yeah, we dating, da 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 da, and woo. It's like, no, we're unearthing some shit. Like, people be crying, they be fighting. Yeah. Like, somebody threw a knife one time. Like, the grandmothers be shaking the table. Like,
the grandmothers, and it's always a dinner. It's whenever they have dinner,
they have joint dinners. Yeah, they make the people.
I'm sure, Preston, you could say the same thing. When y'all sit down for dinner.
Because someone actually tweeted that to me. They said, what is it about reality TV and dinners?
It's always up there.
Because it's like, it's all cast together. Mm-hmm. And once you put all cast together, you are bound to get some moments.
Bound. And there's, put a ring on it.
My favorite thing to do. So I literally see why it's on reality TV. So.
Favorite thing to do. Put a ring on it. Love and Marriage. So they've got Love and Marriage DC and then Love and Marriage Huntsville. And Marriage Detroit. Forgot about that.
Yeah, Detroit. I forgot. Are they coming back? Are they going to be with us?
Anyway. T-Way. I think even Carlos was like, child, let's just get back to Huntsville. Because Huntsville takes the cake, okay? Miss Melody Holt. Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm like, not Miss Melody Holt. I'm sorry. What is her maiden name?
Rogers.
Yes. My God. Am I not?
Come on, get it right now.
I'm not a mellow meter, clearly. I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Melody. No, Melody Rogers and Martell Holt. Sorry. And then Maurice and them, just watch it. I have so many friends that watch that one. That one is like gold. It's so good.
Yeah. So OWN has really good reality programming at this point, and like T saying, it's really catered to our age group, for sure.
It is. Yeah. Like, I got home, my mother was watching Ready to Love Reunion, and I walk in the door and I'm like, rewind it, I haven't, wait, hold on, like, we are like, we don't play. Like, she was like, that one girl, I'm like, I know, like, it is all ages. Like,
you know the one girl you're talking about, because I did not expect her to turn up,
you know,
like that.
I spent a rack on this. I was like, a rack of ribs, that's what Kenny said. I'm like, a rack of what? Because grandpa.
Racks on racks.
Listen, Nephew Tommy was like, we got to go. Okay, but Ready to Love has about 16 seasons or something. They just turning them out. But you got to start with some of those. But do you have a favorite Housewives franchise?
That's a good question.
Because right now it is so tough. Because Potomac was awful. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, the one that I've enjoyed the most recently is Miami.
Oh, yes.
Miami, I think, is one that actually is incredibly underrated. But
this season?
Yeah.
She's
never watched her.
So
I
know I need.
I was not.
Don't go back.
Just you have to go back. Season. I wasn't working over the summer, and so I had free time. And I watched only. I think I started with the third to last season, and I watched the last season in real time. You don't even need to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay,
no.
That damn Larsa, and
oh my god,
I love to hate her. She's so good.
You
for
love
TV,
to
though.
No, she.
Yeah.
It's so good for TV.
I want to fight her for Gertie alone. Like, I just.
She gonna get the pan. Oh, show. But it's good TV. I can't lie.
You know, whatchamacallit, I think is getting a divorce.
The Cuban doll.
Oh yeah.
That's my favorite dresser for the show, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name right now, but Nicole, and you know who I want, whoever, I don't know what Miami's, you know, peach glass is. Kiki, I don't need her to be a friend of the show.
It's giving racism, because why my girl Kiki don't have one?
No, but I feel like Kiki was just kind of there. She literally the way she showed up this season, like all the stuff, I was like, Kiki, you got kids. Yes, lean into Lisa. Like, you are not the only person that is experiencing what you are going through is horrible, but you are not the only person experiencing things. Yeah. Like, Kiki, I think she's fun. Like, I need to see more of her. I tweeted that. I need to see
she was
more.
A friend of the show?
Yeah.
She was giving her friend of the show.
Yeah, she was a friend of the show. And I don't even know whose friend she was, to be honest, but.
She's dirty.
But I don't think she was
multiple. She was friends with multiple girls, yeah, but her and Gertie are
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And Alexia, that's her. Now I was going to frustrate me if I couldn't remember her name. Who's getting divorced? Alexia.
Okay. Alexia. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can't. Child. Everybody should watch Miami.
Yeah. Miami kind of shocked me how great it was. Like, and I mean, it's been good for seasons, but like, you know, especially when you saw it on Peacock, it was really like, all right, this is.
Yeah, that's when I went on Peacock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something that is like, I really do hope they figure out like the timing of it because the ratings weren't that strong for a Housewives franchise. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, ratings obviously don't mean it's not a good show. Like that show was, I think, rivaled some of the best Housewives shows.
Yeah, no, agreed. She's great. No, she's literally, she's taking it. I'm like that Monique meme. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite housewife?
Salt Lake was good.
Oh, Salt Lake was great.
Yeah, no, I don't watch that one.
Yeah, no,
Monica was there.
Oh, yeah.
This season was something. This past season was something.
Yeah.
I feel like I should watch it because I remember when it was happening, there were so many tweets and conversation about it. And I do watch most of them, but I just never got into that one.
I think you need to watch the past, this one and the last one.
Okay.
Just so friendship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to understand about Jen Shaw. I mean, you can also just Google her. But
yeah, right. Know about, yeah.
Just to understand.
Well, I'm sure you already know probably at this point.
Yeah, but this past season was wild.
I mean,
super wild.
Mm-hmm.
It plays out like a movie.
Oh, like, yeah. It
doesn't even play out like a reality show. It's like a damn movie. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's so, it always ends so dramatic. The season itself, it ends so dramatic. You don't even see it coming.
It's actually, you know what? It's crazy. I don't know why I just thought of this. Like you said, a lot of these are like, I'm thinking about Beverly Hills, and it is playing out like a movie, you know, like all the things that are happening in their life that you're either showing or not really showing, but then we're reading about it.
Trouble for that,
exactly. Yeah. And then we're reading about it. It's not like, you know, back in the day where you just had like your star newspapers at checkouts and stuff, right? So you're getting things like a week later. Like we're watching the show, but then in real time, y'all are getting a divorce. But then something else is happening. It's kind of overload a little bit. It's like, so what is the story like? Because Kyle and what's her name, Morgan.
Yeah.
I'm like, let Kyle.
Girl.
Yeah,
girl.
I started watching Buying Beverly Hills. Like, I just put it on like passively.
Dang.
You find out more when you watch that because you're now getting it from Mauricio's point of view.
I'm glad to have his side.
Yeah.
I think we get it because it was very easy to just be on Kyle's side, but now you can see like the full dynamic of like just. He's in his business bag. The girl is growing a company.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get it. I totally get it. But you got to pay attention to your wife, though, a little bit more.
I'm still on the first season. I think I just need to, like, go to.
I'm only watching this new season.
Yeah, I don't know why I tried to get backstory because I'm never going to finish it.
No, you don't need it. Yeah. You don't need it for that show. You don't need the backstory.
I was just watching it. And I, like I said, very passively. So I'm actually going to, clean up. I'm going to put that on as my backstory show.
So we want to play a little game with you. It's called Tweets Are Watching. So we've gone through some of your tweets. You know, you are an avid Twitter user. So are all of us. We love Twitter.
I love you and
have been for years. Just for years. Just to confirm.
when the whale was there, okay? Yeah. We was back then. Listen. So found three of your tweets. So when I'll say the tweet and then kind of want you to give some backstory as to what you were talking about. The first one, Drake continues to be a piece of shit. Wash, rinse, repeat.
I feel like that's an evergreen tweet. Like, I don't even know what.
I mean, could have been for
like, correct.
I don't remember what that was. I don't remember if that he had his limp video come out of his penis. I don't remember if that was like I don't remember exactly when, but I'm sure it was something that he said about Megan that probably really annoyed me. Or
he gets on my nerves with the Megan stuff. Oh my god! Like,
to be honest, that probably was because that probably it had to be it. Because I will go 10 all toes down over Megan Thee Stallion, especially the way a lot of these like misogynistic rappers be talking. Anyways, so I'm sure it probably has something to do with that.
I hear you.
He is. It's like, and you know, I am a like, I'm like Drake fan. But he is the type of artist that I've had to separate the music from him. Like, I'm not. Yeah. I would never claim to be like, oh, I love Drake in the sense. Like, I love Drake's music. I'm very clear. Yeah, like. Same.
I hate that he's become that.
But think about it. It was like
I could corny. Separate.
Yeah, and I like I work in music. I have to. Yeah, I kind of like I have to all, every day. Like literally. So for him, I think it's like even before, right? What was really likable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he was kind of funny.
He was corny.
Yeah, he was corny. Yeah. He leaned into it. He couldn't really
say horny.
That too, horny and corny.
Well, two things are true now.
Yeah, two things are true. You know, he would. It was like you know, but then he had the Drake effect, and he just is so big. It's like you can't, you know, can't almost like. There's no workaround. It didn't matter what he did, what genre he did. It was just, it was gonna be big. I love Jamaican Drake or Jafakin Drake. Like every iteration of him, it was like
everything is gonna go number one.
I like London Drake too.
Everything, you know, everything exactly. He could get into like the Brit bag. Like he, there's not a. You know, genre of music that he can't touch, and it just sounds good. Like, you know, I told you, I need a boat day to honestly never mind. Like, still,
it's coming, sister. Yeah. It's coming.
It's just,
I can't lie. I don't listen to his music. Yeah, right, hello. Let's do that. I don't listen to his music anymore, but I used to be such a big fan, and I think that is always where my disappointment from certain artists will be. Is if I really loved you, and then I'm like, oh, this is who I love.
Yeah.
It almost makes it like an immediate stop for me because I'm like, I can't do it. But I was like even the Houston, Atlanta, Vegas Drake, like that was like
amazing. 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 Yeah. Listen to that album. I listened to that album this week. Okay. I love Drake. Give us another tweet, Needy.
The next tweet is, sometimes I need to stop worrying about the storyline moving forward and just be real because, Hashtag Summer House MV.
So that was, it could have been a couple of different things, but if I remember correctly, it was probably, so when you're filming for reality TV, the one thing that I do think is important to always be clear is like, the storyline has to continue. Like it just, like you're filming for a show. But I think some moments when, and I think some people on my cast do a very good job of moving the storyline forward. Jasmine is one of them. Bria is another one of them.
Jasmine thinks she's a producer. So she's
a ghostwriter.
Yeah, I mean, the producers usually call three of us out positively about it. It's usually me, Bria, Jasmine.
That makes sense.
But I also think in some respect, if you move the storyline forward, you may honestly not be considering how you're feeling for real, for real. And there was one moment, it had to be, it was clearly something about with me and Bria. I just don't remember which moment it was where I was actually genuinely frustrated. And I'm just like, let me just let it go to just to make sure we got enough time. Which not everyone does that, right? A lot of people run away from arguments that, you know, so it's a lot for me though. I try to be on this pupil, be a good student. And I think sometimes for me, it's like, it's disallowed me from being honest in certain moments.
That's real. You know, not running from an argument, Summer.
Oh my God.
Oh, she's definitely not.
She ain't running. She about to beat bitches up, okay? Like, I don't know why. No one knows why at this point.
You know, we did say, I think Noelle is such a great addition to the show, though. She's just light and, like, fun. And, you know, she really is just, like, that
Atlanta
scene.
Girl.
Yeah, like, I said that she's cracking them crab legs. And it's, like, just chaos. She just, like...
Yeah.
No. That has nothing to do with me. And I think when you knew, like, especially like for that episode, that is like the right response, because it's like, y'all crazy. I don't even know y'all really. Like,
I'm just getting to know y'all.
It was the most, literally. I just would have been like, ooh, it's cracking my legs, sipping on my rosé. Like, oh my goodness. Yo. Perfect. I love her.
She is a joy to be around, for real, for real. So like, I could see that.
Really love her. Yeah, she literally, it seems like that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can tell, I feel like, people's energy, even through whether it be a TV show, that it's just like, you know what? I would actually like to have a drink with them. Or, you know what? Beat bitches up. Like,
honestly, that has been like the thing that I've loved the most is when people come up to me. They always think they know me already.
Yeah.
But I guess for them, they're like, you just seem familiar to me. Like, some guy just kick it with anyway. And they're like, wait, you on a damn show, ain't you?
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, that's why I'm talking to you.
Yeah, right. Because I had people come to me and they were like, remember we were hanging out at the bar in New York?
No.
It wasn't me. They're like, no. They were like, we met through your friends, so and so. I'm like, I don't know that person either.
Wow.
And then they literally walk away and they'd be like, oh my, they'd be so embarrassed. And I'd be like, I thought you were somebody else.
It's giving me drunk.
That like, is hilarious.
Good.
And so the last tweet is, see, sides like me get engaged too.
That was funny.
There's always a joke that I have about people forcing gay men in particular to love particular sexual acts and positions. I mean, for folks who don't know or listeners who may not know, so sides are folks who basically enjoy most sex outside of penetrative sex. I've just never enjoyed penetrative sex. Not really. It didn't mean I didn't do it. I just was like, it's a little too much all the time. Like, I could do other things to be just fine. But it was when I really got older.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot going on.
But it's when I got older, though, is when I was like, actually, though, I really do derive pleasure more from non-penetrative sex. Like, it became like this is actually serious for me. And you know, people were like, oh my God, would you find a long-term relationship? What does that look like? And I was basically like my haha bitch moment. Like, yes, I can.
I guess I can.
Life of a wife.
We gonna get you the shirt.
We gonna get him a shirt.
So that's what that was.
Wow.
I love it. Don't let people tell you what you can and cannot do. Like, you really have to live your own life.
Story of my life. And look,
whatever works for you.
Listen, drink water, mind your business. It's cool.
It's really that simple. It's actually so easy.
Yeah. It's that simple. Where did side come from? So I was having this conversation last night because I get the idea, like, you know, for years people were like, I only do oral. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't do, you know, the whole anal thing. But the term side, I didn't even realize it was because of top, bottom, and side was in the middle of that. That was child. And so I was literally like,
listen.
This is last night.
The cis girls over here, like, oh, light bulb, okay.
Like the literal sense of from a top bottom, it's in the middle, like, oh shit. So when did you feel like your side people started using the term to describe yourself as side?
You know what? So it was really when I found myself a part of, at least like tangentially, a part of, oh, y'all about to learn a lot. So a part of like the beta community. And within the beta community is basically just like, you know, men who just like taking longer to masturbate. So they usually edge or masturbate together, like with their friends, lovers, loved ones, multiple.
Okay. I'm falling out because you are really teaching these girls Preston.
Thank you.
But a lot of them don't enjoy penetration. That's who I really started hearing using these terms first, as they're, you know, they were the ones who taught me around like edging and what baiting means and sides. And honestly, this is why I'm so grateful that I used to teach sexual health, because it is sex is so important to discuss, right? Like, not only important to have, but important to discuss. And I've learned a lot of people have really bad sex because they don't know what pleasure means for their own body. So they're spending so much time having sex to please other people, but not, are not worried about their own pleasure. And I've really respected, throughout the judgment and stigma for people who don't enjoy penetrative sex, I have, and frankly, there's a lot of judgment for, like, people who do love receiving dick, who are bottoms or, like, verse bottoms more specifically. But there's a lot of judgment and stigma within sex and within LGBTQ communities. And I just really appreciate those who know what they like and know what gives their body pleasure. Because it's like, you can have judgment and stigma all day, but at least I know I'm having sex and I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, there's many people who I know have sex and don't, and are talking about, you know, their partners or their friends because they're having miserable sex.
And not communicating. That's very real.
Yeah, and not communicating about it, right? Yeah. Just sitting there, rolling their eyes back, praying for it to be done. I'm like, that ain't gonna be my journey.
I think that it, you do have to really, especially as you get older. I think when you're younger, you don't even think about that. You're just like kind of going through the motions of what you, again, think that you should be doing. And no one is really, you know, it's more of like the technical aspect, not necessarily like for the pleasure of it. That, like you said, sometimes it's not even for you. You're literally just doing it. You're doing it for the pleasure of someone else. And then you look up and you like, well, I don't even know how to orgasm. And I'm, you know, 35 plus or something like that. Like, I think,
all the time with my women friends, because I will never forget when we were in high school and even really college, talking to a lot of them, I was like, be honest with me. I was like, when y'all started having sex, could you even enjoy it? Or were you just worried about not being pregnant? And they were like, actually, I don't think I enjoyed it.
The latter. It's like, a thousand. It's a thousand. It's
A lot of it is fear.
Yeah.
And so, it's very, this is why, I mean, the show doesn't give us a chance to talk about it in this way, but I love discussing sex, honestly, because, like, there is a lot of culture and stigma in sex, and we just don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
Especially Black folks, right? And we can talk about, like, religion and why a lot of that
And shame, too. Yeah.
Shame. I just really wish we got the space to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, we just won't usually.
Yeah, we got to create those spaces because it's needed, right? Like, you know, when you're talking about being satisfied during sex, it could resonate for anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so I even think about women. And so you brought up a really good point that I've never even thought about is like the fear of getting pregnant. I'm like, damn, I guess that would be a fear, right? Because that's not something I would think about. But it definitely needs to be discussed. People can't say things like, he was inside of me. Got it. Can't say that. Please stop saying it.
Why should you say it like that?
Texted my girl, stop. Like, Summer, you got to figure out a different way to say it.
She
just started laughing. She's like, I don't know what was in my head.
Seemed really frustrated. I feel like she was just so frustrated. And you know, when you just frustrated, it's like whatever comes to mind. Like,
I think we have these conversations many times on the show, like on shows. Like, a lot of times it's not just like you talk and it's done. It's like you talk about it and we producers thought it was good. And so they're like, we didn't get it all. So now talk about it again. Now I'm mad because the first time was my better time.
The first time was good. Right. So now,
got it.
Now I'm frustrated.
So she was like, it was like the fourth time. It was like, fair.
Got it. It's like, how else do you want me to say this? I'm tired of having this combo. Yeah. Okay. That's very fair.
Break the fourth wall. What do you want with us?
I guess if you want to get straight to the point of it all. Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, I get why you're mad. I was inside of you. Yeah. What you want me to say? Like,
it was one time I will never forget when I was having this long conversation with the mirror, and apparently they couldn't really hear me because it was really hot, and I was like standing in front of a fan, and I guess it was like blocking some of the convo from because of my mic and the fan. They were like, Preston, we actually need to get that again. I said, no, I'm done. I'm not. You got take what you got.
Yeah.
Not rehashing this entire last week. Love y'all.
But no.
Love y'all.
Wow. See, we learning things. Wow. Learn so much, actually, I feel like.
Yeah. That's what I'm here
for. Learning
even more.
An educator, I tell
an
you.
An educator, okay. Activist. Right. That's what I said, multi hyphenate. Okay. This is like multiple hyphenates. Like.
So do you take off work when you film for this show?
So season one, it's interesting because I was not an entrepreneur in season one. Season one, I was working at... as a senior director of government relations at the Trevor Project. God bless that org because, anyways. So I was working there full time and I was doing a lot of calls and meetings when I was working. And so I couldn't really engage as much as I wanted to. I think that's also why you see me be a lot more present. Like, I think season one, I was myself, right? We're multidimensional people. But I think season two, you really get to see my personality a lot more because I was able to engage. And now I work for myself. So I was able to just like, all right, I'm not doing work for these 2 weeks, actually.
Got it. Right. Okay. That makes sense.
I love that.
So we end our show with two questions. And so the first one is, what would you tell your younger self?
I have to take it back to the beginning. Like, I would tell my younger self, you did not deserve what you went through, but my God, you are a dope person.
And are.
And yeah, I just always have to like remind, I mean, in order for me to talk to my younger self, I always think about my future self. And so like, I just find it just incredibly important for those dots to connect. And I just know my younger self is like, you know, you're going to go through a lot of things that you don't deserve, but you will come out on top of it. And you'll be able to teach people who are coming behind you so they can also be able to shape their experiences and be whatever the hell they want to be.
Yeah.
Like, I truly believe that.
I love that. I love that. Me too. And what do you know for sure?
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Is it okay if my radical self come out here?
Of course.
So listen, what I know for sure is Palestine will eventually be free. That's what I know for sure.
Come on now.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes. I love yours is the first one I think that we have gotten that is not about someone's like inner self.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it says actually, a lot about who
exactly.
You are,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Like what you care about, and you care about humanity and people. And the right thing happening to people, and you exude that on the show. So we're gonna give you your roses for that, baby.
Where
my claps at? Okay,
hit the claps.
I have to bring some claps in there.
Hit the claps. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. And then to end the show, the quote of the day is: I'm sorry, I had to take it. This one is personal. I had to post this on my story today because I saw it, and it kind of made me do a little shout. And then other people were like, somebody told me they did a Crip walk. I heard of I said, what? And then it was another shout and like a bunch of literally a myriad of things. But what if God ruined your plans so your plans wouldn't ruin you? And, you know, I feel like on theme with a lot of what we've been speaking about, you know, you have these plans and you're like, it's going to go like this. And I'm going to be with this person and I'm going to do this. And as I've talked about in the past, I was always someone that was like, by, you know, 25, I'm going to have 2 kids and be married. And I'm like, child, I was on the top of a table someplace at 25 years old. Like,
as you should.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you put these limitations on ourselves of like, it has to look like this and it has to be like this. And, you know, this is my season of whatever God that you have for me is for me, because I know one of the plans got ruined. And hallelujah, praise him, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you to all the saints, as my mother would say, to all the saints.
Listen, all of them.
So
I love that quote. And I did see me that too. You posted it too. And I was like, ain't that right?
Preston, where can people find you?
Because I'm not that creative. You can find my first and last name everywhere on social media. So either going to be like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I think it's banned now, maybe. But anyways, Instagram, Twitter, especially. That's where you'll find me most things. Preston Mitchum or Preston.Mitchum. They can also find me on PrestonMitchum.com. And if they do /shop, they'll see all of my merchandise from Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
So, quotes. Listen, quotes, slogans. The one with my meme is everywhere with me eating crab legs. That's on one of the shirts and mugs. You'll find the quote. If you make a scene, I'll make a movie. That's on hats and sweatshirts. Go there and cop some things. It's multiple colors, free shipping. So make sure to get y'all something.
Love that.
Free shipping.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. This was great.
This was a pleasure. Thank y'all.
This was a lot of fun too.
It was. And educational, informative, educational, all the things.
I tell you, all the things.
Absolutely. All the things. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And congrats again on your engagement.
Yes, thank
you. I can't wait. So I know I proposed to him. I can't wait to be on the next one. Like,
okay, we gotta bring you back to the wedding.
Did it? Good. On your life, white shirt.
I can't. We gotta get you that shirt, Preston. That says "Life of a Wife." If you're okay with it saying "Life of a Wife," but because that's what it says, we gotta get you the shirt. Right,
sentiments are there. Sentiments are there.
Oh my gosh!
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't. But bye.
Bye, y'all.